Sounds to me like you're daunted. Say it again like you're undaunted.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Whenever you are watching or listening to this, this is the Often Daunted Podcast, brought to you in partnership with the College Huddle Network. If you haven't followed them, go ahead and follow them. A collection of podcasts around the country, just highlighting each of the major college programs out there. Once they started up basketball, I hopped on board, and it's been an awesome getting to deal with those guys and just getting to work with them. Yeah, so welcome back to the show. It's been about 2 weeks of Indiana basketball, but we have a lot to talk about, but unfortunately it seems to be a lot more of the same with this Indiana Hoosier team, with these starts to these seasons under the Mike Woodson tenure. And I'm going to look for the brighter side. I'm going to choose to say, hey, our guys did fight there for a bit in the middle part of the game, which is usually the most important part of the game, but you can't start and end games the way Indiana did and expect there to be any other outcome than the one we saw on Friday night against Nebraska in Nebraska, allowing Nebraska to go 4-0 on us for the year of 2024. Rough start, but I was so grateful because I was able to have Jeff and Ben on. I was able to sit down with them of the Hoosier Court Pod. Last time I sat down with the Hoosier Court Pod, it was just Jeff, but Ben was able to make it this time. Awesome getting to sit down with them and just go through this disappointing start that we've seen from this team. I wish I could, it just could be rainbows and everything's great. But I mean, man, this is Often Daunted. Like this, I didn't want the name to be a indictment on our program. But man, it supporting this team is a religious experience. You're in all the way, no matter what. But man, it is a trial right now. We're gonna keep pushing through. We're gonna keep supporting, but it's getting rough. And I'm glad that these guys were able to sit down with me and just let me vent a little more on how Indiana has started. I thank them for helping me out in recapping these, because just discussing the state of the program after such a letdown of a result would just be downright monotone and safe. Yeah, wouldn't want to have anyone else on here to discuss it with. So I cannot appreciate them enough. Then, of course, after that, it's on to the Indiana news, the conference news, and then it's on to a preview. And instead of previewing the Chattanooga and Winthrop games, before the preview, it'll be your Berks Big Five, this time being Berks Big Five state flags affiliated with the Big Ten. And then it'll be the Flaunted and the Daunted, your winners and losers for the week. Then after all that, it's on to a preview. This one, again, not wanting to do the Chattanooga and Winthrop games, because those being anything other than a foregone conclusion would be an embarrassment of the highest order. It's over if that's the case. And I refuse to believe Indiana is over before the ball drops on 2025. Okay, I think this roster is far too talented for that to be the case. While it has been such a rough start and so indicative of the starts we've had before, I believe that Indiana can figure it out, just because what other choice do I have? Of course, I got to believe, man. It's a sad, sad existence if I can't somehow find a way to believe that Indiana can figure this out. So, of course, I'm sure by come the very next Big Ten game, I'm going to be all back in. It's a sick existence, but hey, it's the one we choose to live. And we wouldn't have it. We'd like to win, but we're going to support the Hoosiers nonetheless. I'm previewing the Indiana football game because that'll be much more fun to preview than the two foregone conclusions of the Chattanooga and Winthrop games, because those need to be foregone conclusions. Pumped to have on now a recurring guest in roommate Donnie. Roommate Donnie had him on before to discuss IU basketball. I think an end of the season recap with some of my roommates, but I am getting him on here to discuss Indiana football. This is the truest Indiana football fan I've ever known. He is the one that was begging all of us to stay there through the hangover because Kevin Wilson needed our help. And you know what? There weren't beers available back then in the crowd. So it was a real resource management operation with just trying to remain there and support Kevin Wilson. This guy was a soldier on the front lines, getting the rest of those around him to do it. And I'm so pumped to see him get to enjoy a season like this and just getting to be along for the ride for these fans who have absolutely been ride or die for the Hoosiers, regardless of how absolute trash our program has been. I'm so pumped to sit down and preview it with him. Thank you again. That is roommate Donnie, and you will see him in the preview. If you wanted to go ahead and skip to, if you listen to this recap of the Hoosier Court Pod, because we simulcasted it on both of our sites, pages, wherever we put our stuff out. If you've already listened to that, go to this timestamp on the YouTube, this timestamp, and you can skip ahead to the Indiana news and the rest of the show. If you wanted to skip to the preview, I'll go ahead and throw that up there. Yeah, thanks for coming. I'm going to help you out. This is the preview of the football game. Just two guys, not even a preview of the game so much as just in recapping the enjoyment we've had watching Indiana succeed where we have only ever known Indiana to fail. So that'll be right there. Thank you. And with all that out of the way, let's just get right into sitting down with the Hoosier Court Pod. Ben and Jeff, again, can't thank them enough. Let's go.
Hoosier Nation, what's up? A sobering addition today. We've got Burke from Off and Donna. He wants to come vent. Ben's here. Audio issues fixed, Ben. Can you give me a test just to make sure you're back in business? Can we hear you?
I'm here, and we know we're going to get the most fans that we get because they love it when we lose.
They do love it when we lose, especially to Nebraska. Burke, our friend from Off and Donned, at Off and Donned and all the social media channels that you can find him. Little do you know, our most attended podcast, our most listened to podcast, is when we get our doors blown off by Nebraska. Now, we didn't get our doors blown off completely by Nebraska this time, but it wasn't pretty. We were talking, I think, Burke, on Friday night, you know, just DMing back and forth about, hey, we need a vent session, so we're bringing it to you. Burke, initial thoughts.
My initial thoughts are it's the same thing every year, man. We say new roster, this is his chance to prove it. It seems like he's had 12 prove it games and it's the same result every time. You know, there are a few Purdue wins sprinkled in there under his belt, but that being said, it's been far too little, like, in just it's ridiculous right now. It is a trial that these Indiana fans are going through because it is the same thing. Shout out to Indiana HQ right off the top. Let's just say again, that result, the 85-68 decimation of Indiana at Nebraska's hands in Nebraska, that is the fourth time this year that Fred Hoiberg has gotten the best of Mike Woodson. That is January 3rd, where Nebraska won 86-70, total butt whooping. February 21st, Nebraska wins 85-70, damn near the same score, total butt whooping. March 15th, 93-66, Nebraska. And then, yeah, what we saw Friday night, it's Nebraska. Like, at what point do we say we have expectations as Indiana fans?
And I mean, yeah, you said it all right there. And at what point do they say, hey, we're Nebraska, you're Indiana? Because I want to get into this a little bit later and talk about where we are in relation to Big Ten kind of power rankings now that there's 18 schools. But Ben, I know you watched that game with your girlfriend on Friday night, and you made her watch that disaster. What were her thoughts on this one?
Well, she had a couple of thoughts. One, she said that Nebraska looked a lot older than our team. There are a few players on there that are a good 24, 25 years old. And she said that it looked like a bunch of men versus boys. That was her description of what took place. But another thing about the last four times we played Nebraska, if you want a surefire bet, Indiana playing Nebraska, it hits every
single time. And just, you know, it was magic that we used Ben's audio. And I think he just, you know, he lost himself there for a second. But I think he was going to say, Burke, it hits every single time when Indiana plays Nebraska. I had a friend of mine that I was texting back and forth with, and he's a Kentucky fan, And he, I know, childhood friend, right?
Hey, I got to say, it is funny, though, because they picked the alumni coach that seems to know how to build it the right way. But, yeah, it's continue. Your traitorous Kentucky friend.
Yeah, and I said, he's like, oh, I like, Indiana +4. I said, absolutely not. I said, go the other direction. Put whatever you want on it. Indiana will not cover this. They won't win. It won't be anything there. And so, you know, that's kind of the way it goes, I guess, is, it's disappointing, right? You have expectations and you get let down. You talked about it, Burke. You talked about it, the 12 opportunities that Woodson's had, right? I mean, it's just time after time after time. You see a double digit loss and, how does this continue to keep happening, Bert?
I don't know why it's allowed. Like, that is where I'm at with the program expectations. Again, I think I brought it up when we discussed the battle for Atlantis. But, like, Ohio State is about to might fire their head coach because he didn't beat their rival. Like, that's program expectations. And, like, football to basketball is apples to oranges. But you can compare fruit, man. You can compare fruit. And that is just like program expectations. Where have Indiana's gone? Where have they gone?
I mean, take the three of us, right? It's I don't have them anymore. I honestly don't. I mean, when I'm texting a friend of mine who we used to go back and forth and back and forth about Indiana, Kentucky, like we're nowhere near Kentucky right now. And that's shame on Indiana University, shame on the administration, shame on whoever, right? Like, it's not Mike Woodson's fault that he was hired. It's not his fault.
I mean, you need to take that job, dude. It's $1 million job. Absolutely. I don't blame him at all.
And I see, since you invoked the money, Mike Woodson makes $4.2 million. And I think, people have been saying, hey, this is a $5 million roster. I'm like, well, if you want to talk about money, you could start with the head coach. Because he's making top tier college basketball money. And Ben, I mean, when you're paying big money for a roster, right? But you're also paying big money to the coach. I mean, wouldn't you expect better results? And I mean, like, I'm not saying you got to win all these games, right? Because we know that's not going to happen. But you continue to get beat by 15 plus. I mean, the stat is out there on Woodson. I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's not good. He stays getting I think that's considered a blowout. 15 plus is kind of considered a blowout, and it just continues to happen. Ben, I mean, what's your answer for this?
Well, I hated the hire because he did not – I don't like to get a coach that no one's interested in. And then we gave him a raise. Where was he going to go? No one wanted him. What did we give him a raise for? So
well, he made the tournament. Mind. He made the tournament with Trace Jackson Davis.
Wow.
Yeah, expectations, man.
Our standards are so low that's great these days. And that's a problem in itself, because think about it. Our NIL budget's got to be in the top 20 in the country. And what are we ranked now? Like 83rd? I mean, our schedule is, it looks like Miami Hurricane football schedule. It's terrible.
Oh, a cheap shot at someone we know. A little cheap shot there about Miami Hurricanes. But, yeah, I mean, let's talk about this game a little bit, right, and then we'll maybe go back into the Woods and Doldrums, if you will. But, Burke, we were talking about this off air, is the starts and the finish, right? Indiana down 13-3 right off the top. Who saw that coming? I did.
Yeah. I think most people did. Indiana slow start in Lincoln.
And finished, I think, 23-4. So if you add those up, I'm no math major, but that's 36-7 at the first four minutes and the last 4 minutes of the game. That's unacceptable.
It's insane. If you start and end games that way, it's impossible to win. Impossible to win. And I don't know why these slow starts are just such a characteristic of the entire program. Like, I don't know how they can't get up for games. Like, and then I don't know how they can't get up for this one. Like, Mike Woodson is nobody saying, like, hey, man, it's time to prove it. This was an opportunity to change the narrative, to show that anything's different than it was last season, than it was the season before. Like, just once step up to the opportunity.
There's too much talent on this roster. I mean, there is and I will say, there is talent on this roster. It may not fit together, and, you know, who knows how the rest of the season goes. There's still 20 regular season games plus any type of postseason of Big Ten tournament and plus. But there's too much talent on this roster, in my opinion. And I, you know, let's talk about the game. I thought Miles Rice had a really good game. He at one point was saying, hey, I'm going to put this team on my back. I think he scored 11 or 13 straight in the game. But Indiana shot 35 threes, okay? If you've watched Indiana the last, under Mike Woodson, quite frankly, they don't ever shoot that many threes. They shot 35 threes because Hoiberg wanted Indiana to shoot 35 threes. And essentially, I think Mike Woodson's plan, Ben, and we talk about the shooting, is, hey, we're just going to hope it goes in. There was no adjustment. It's not like, you know, about 10 of them in, he's like, oh, they really want us to shoot threes, right? Like, it was, let's just keep jacking them up. And if we hit three or four more, right? Even if you shot 33%, it's a different ball game potentially, right? But, like, if we shot, you know, 12 of 35, right? But we should have never taken 35. They wanted us to do that. Like, what happened there, Ben?
Well, I will say I did like the fact that we did shoot 35, Sherm, because the team looks like they are scared to shoot sometimes. So at least they shot the ball. The problem is they can't shoot. That's a problem. And they had some wide open shots because we had offensive rebound threes left and right, which usually that's the best shot in basketball and always goes in, but not with this team. But I do see another thing that I see as an issue, and I know it's probably because we missed a lot of shots, but when our point guard has one, I mean, I know he had 20 points, but we got to get some more assists. We're not getting people the balls where they need to go. And I will say one last thing before I let you guys go to your points, but my throw your chair moment was when Mbako got his second foul, and then we decided to sit him the whole first half, which is Jeff Sherman's favorite thing that he does. If he gets the second foul, let's sit 17 minutes. So we're down by 20, and our best player, the guy that one of the only guys that can create his own shot, isn't in the game for 18 minutes.
19 and a half minutes. 19:31. He gets a second foul, and I said, well, we'll see him in the second half. Burke, I mean, what's your thought on that? You know, two foul situation. Like, I get trying to be a little conservative and trying to make sure you don't get a third foul, and then, you know, Indiana was able to manage it with only three at the half. I mean, but I feel like, you know, maybe give him another shot. I mean, what do you think there?
If you're going to lose the minutes, you're going to lose the minutes. Like, who cares if it's now or later? Like, why? It's like he's ramping up for every game to be a final minute buzzer beater. Let's win that. And it's like, dude, it doesn't have to be that if you just get the lead right now with the talent you have on the floor right now.
You just blew my mind. He's managing it like it's the NBA.
He wants to get it. He's like, okay, last 2 minutes, that's when the game matters. Yeah. That's when. But, I mean, you can't really say that about the last game. But.
No, like, he manages it like it's the NBA, but yet we are down by 17, and it doesn't
matter. You don't need him on the floor for a buzzer beater if Indiana can get a 10-point lead at the half. Like, because we can just maintain a lead if we are just managing it differently, or I don't know. It's just such a funk, a curse over this program right now.
Yeah, it is a funk, it is a curse. And I mean, so Ben, typically we're doom and gloom after the Nebraska games on here, but I want you to give me a positive from, you know, the Indiana Nebraska game. Was there anything that stood out where you're like, hey, that's something we can build upon? Is there something there? I know I'm really going to have to dig it out of you here, but I know you can give me one.
Well, I'm going to pull this out of my ass. But I will say Miles Rice offensive performance, and we did get a lot of offensive rebounds, even though their guys look like they belong. And I will say one other thing I did notice. I thought Nebraska's basketball team looked like dodgeball. The
movie.
Like they looked like, yeah, like a scrappy group that may or may not play basketball. And then they're out there just throwing alley-oops to each other, and we couldn't do anything down low. But I'll get your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, and Burke, I mean, like the rebounding, right? Like, we were getting offensive rebounds. We weren't doing anything with it. It's kind of like, you know, getting a turnover and, you know, it's not leading to any points on the other end. But, I mean, like, you know, maybe talk a little bit about the the rebounding margin, but also just the any positives maybe you took away. You're a pretty optimistic guy, unlike us too. So
yeah, you're more optimistic than we are.
I loved the offensive rebounding effort. We basically tripled them up almost. They had 6, we had 15. But it is the points off turnovers. Those should be the easiest points to get for an Indiana team against Nebraska, who is without Rink Mast. Like, their center was gone, and that dude did a lot for them last year. He stirs the drink. He is a TJD light in the way they ran through him last year. He had to touch every possession. But with us only able to get 14, them matching us on the points off of the turnovers, like, what's the point of winning the battle there if the results are just going to yield in a push?
Yeah, I love how you brought up Trace Jackson Davis, because I want to pivot here for a second. Can I ask a question? If Trace Jackson Davis never plays for Indiana, is Mike Woodson still a coach? Is this season even happening right now? Because I feel like Trace carried him to 2 tourney appearances, especially the second one. Like, especially, like, he was otherworldly, right? The first year he was really good. The next year he's an All-American. Like, is that, like, does Mike Woodson owe those bonuses and extensions and extra millions to Trace? Because I'm on record of saying I don't think Mike Woodson gets a year 4 without Trace.
But, like, maybe without Trace it would have had to have looked vastly different. Like, maybe he would have had to have zag a lot more than he has, because, like, with Trace, like, Trace was such a great crutch for a backcourtless team. He was. And he basically defined, like, what the Indiana play style was at all times when he was on the floor. So, I mean, the script kind of wrote itself with the way Mike Woodson was going to utilize him, I guess. So maybe it would be interesting to see without Trace, like, what does the first Mike Woodson offense look like? Because it would have to look a lot different.
Do you feel like maybe he's – I feel like Mike Woodson's so stubborn that he wouldn't change no matter who. If it could be the 3 of us out there, and he'd just continue to run the same thing over and over again. But I do like your optimism on that.
No, for sure. But at the same time, I'm like, the way that roster was built – the way the offense has operated, that has been the only way that we could have done anything.
Yep.
Like, we didn't have a backcourt to be shooting, like, any different way. So, I mean, he has done the best with what we had with Trace Jackson Davis, I guess. But now that we got the roster that everyone's been saying, we just need to give him the roster. This is the roster, unquestionably. We can't rewrite the history that we all – this is the highest touted transfer roster. Like, we don't get to backtrack that. We don't get to backtrack, and we don't need to move the goalposts, because why? Let's have the expectations that we had.
And, you know, kind of, I had to get that in. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Trace thing. But, you know, maybe switching gears back a bit to this game, are we at a level where we're concerned about, you know, Kanan Carlisle, and Ben, I want to get your thoughts on this. He has not been good. Right. He has not been good. And I think we were sold that he was, you know, the starting 2 guard, like, he's going to be the guy that's going to give us the production. And I mean, in this particular game, a no show, and I get it. He's dealt with some injuries and all that. And, you know, good luck getting any details on any injury from any Indiana basketball player outside of, like, a Gabe Cupps posting his knee surgery picture on social media, which, by the way, Gabe Cupps is out for the year. So, Ben, unfortunately, you're not going to get to pick on him this year like you did last year, because he's out. But I guarantee you that lead, it just happened to time up where you could take the time off, get the medical red shirt, and probably transfer to Dayton next year to be closer to home would be my, you know, that's my conspiracy theory. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, but on Gabe Cupps, I think he did that intentionally of, like, hey, I'm not going to play here. Let's have the surgery. Let's get it cleaned up, and I'm out of here next year. But, Ben, Kanan Carlisle, are you concerned?
Well, I was told that he was a decent player, but I think the most troubling part was they told me that he was great on defense, but I'm pretty sure he was guarding a guy named Bryce Williams at some points, and he ate a lot. I mean, he had turkey, he had the stuffing, and he had leftovers all on us, and I'm pretty sure. So if you can't play defense and you can't play offense, you're starting to look like my friend Gabe Cups. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then Bryson Tucker, Burke, I mean, go ahead and finish your thought on maybe on Carlisle, but I want to get your thoughts on Bryson Tucker. Got 25 minutes, right? 24, 25 minutes and didn't really do a lot with it, but your thoughts on Carlisle?
It just spins into the defense as a whole. It seems like it is so crazy how the initial defender, the primary on-ball defender, is almost resigned to the fact that he needs help. Like every single time they are going to try heading into the interior, the primary ball handler is almost playing like he's expecting the help instead of just, you know, being a dog, manning up and just getting his body in the way of the play.
Yeah.
And that is just a characteristic that isn't just on, it's on everybody on this team.
Yeah.
And
he's playing an archaic style. Quite frankly,
well, yeah,
They're lost all the time. Miscommunication against the bad teams. I mean, how many times do you see it? Like, oh, we're playing even Nebraska. That's a made three, right? Like, that's a layup, yeah. Right? It happens over and over again.
Yeah, it is just there's no sense of like self pride. I hate calling out stuff like this that you can't really quantify, but it is. It seems like there's no just like, hey, I'm going to face this dude up. He ain't stopping. He ain't getting anywhere past me right now. They're like, oh, I'm going to guess what? Somebody's going to be in the paint to slide over and kind of help obstruct the shot and blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's a lack of focusing on the little things. And that is the conditioning. Is that the conditioning? Like I said on the last time we got together, it seems like this team is tired, and it is those little turnovers are a result of just being tired. You can't sweat the small stuff if you're worrying on huffing wind.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, that there's, you know, Cliff Marshall has gotten a lot of heat about, you know, and this team's going to have some time, right? I mean, they play two games in the next 2 weeks, right? And they've got some soul searching to do, right? But maybe that's an opportunity to get practice, get some of that wind back, get the conditioning there. But you know, we all know that performance was unacceptable at Nebraska. I think everybody knows that. And I mean, Indiana's 8-3 on the year, 20 games to go. And their average loss is 20 plus points, right? If you take the three losses, it's an average like that. That can't continue. So Ben, where do we head from here?
I'd like to say two things. One is neither one of them are good, but one is our schedule is atrocious. We're playing Chattanooga on Saturday. And the second thing is, and I hate to say this, being a fan, but we are extremely boring to watch. Like, our offense is boring. Our defense is boring. And we don't make shots. Like, it was painful. I had to drink so much I could barely see straight by the end of the game.
Well, I mean, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But I think you're on to something. I was talking to a friend of mine and I said, like, I don't, and like, you know, hey, this is a hobby, like, whatever, we talk Indiana basketball and like misery loves company, right? But it's not really an enjoyable experience watching Indiana right now. And I think that's a microcosm of the administration, like just the overall top down. You want to start at the president all the way down. Like, they're doing some things in football. And I think, like, there's some soul searching that needs to happen after this season, right? Because like, we can sit here and we can say, hey, you know what? Tough loss on the road. They're going to bounce back. They'll win two at home. And then we get back into the flow in the Big Ten. We can do this, right? Everybody can sell themselves on it. Let's be honest. They're going to be 18-13 with a 74 net heading into the Big Ten tournament thinking, oh, they're trying to sell us. Maybe they'll be 19-12 selling us a bill of goods of saying, hey, we might be able to sneak in. I'm tired of that, Burke. Surely you are, right? Like, how do we change this?
It's the fourth year. We don't need to be worrying about the sixth. It's again, apples to oranges, football to basketball. It's a 12-team playoff. Kurt's doing it in his first year. It's a 68-team playoff, and Mike is worrying about it in his fourth. It's ridiculous. And don't even tell. Like, let's start talk about the bases each of them started on. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, it is it is mind-boggling, right?
Bases. I had to get a third sport in there. Sorry.
Yeah, you should. You should. Please. It's just like, Ben, to your point, I was sitting there watching the team Friday night, and I'm just like, man, like, I'm just not, like, enjoying this at all, even when it was like, and I get it. Like, people listening, you can say, well, easy thing to do, Jeff. Stop watching. Well, sorry. It's not in my DNA. I can't do it. I watched Indiana football be absolutely atrocious my entire life until this moment, and I'm going to enjoy Friday night, right? Now, I won't pretend to say that I was as big of an IU football fan as I have been basketball for my entire life. Like, no doubt about that, and shout out to, you know, Indiana football. That's a whole other topic. We could get on a whole other ball of wax there, but, like, where does this – like, do you think Burke and Ben, this is for both of you, do you think Scott Dolson sits there watching saying, I got to do something? Or is he being pulled by the Quinn Buckners and others of the world to say, hey, Mike's our guy, like, he's a legend, all this stuff. And is that – like, who's calling the shots here?
Well, I think the football team's saving his ass because – everyone's concentrating on football right now, and basketball's kind of second rate. So, like,
but to your point, like, how would he say? Because I'm looking at the same people that are rooting for basketball are now like, oh, this football coach, like, maybe we can get that in. Like, they're starting to be like, oh, wait, like, we don't have to accept this. Like, I look at it the other way of, like, the people that are rooting for football are basketball fans. Right. There's not a lot. Let's be honest. There's not a lot of football first Indiana fans. Right. It typically, oh, yeah. You know, 85 to 15, maybe on basketball. Yeah. Right, Burke. But I mean,
oh, yeah.
You bring up a valid point, Ben, but Burke.
No, it's. Sorry. What was the.
Just like, no, honestly, like with Dolson. Right.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
You think
okay,
he
no.
sits there and says, hey, I gotta do think, something, or is he being pulled
I think
by
initially
direction?
He I think initially there is some sort of conspiratorial shadow basketball government running the scenes, but I mean, they can think what they want. The nature of college sports is being dictated by college football, and Dolson just made the hire of all hires in college football, and that is going to garner him a lot of respect, a lot of weight in decision making. And regardless if they like it or not, basketball is not going to be making decisions at the in a few years. It just isn't, because it just can't. If Indiana wants to continue to hang in NIL, hang in being relevant with athletics. Like, he will eventually be one of the, like, 32 most powerful men in college sports with, like, the ADs of the SEC and Big Ten.
Absolutely. And I think, like, you bring up such a great point that if Indiana can, you know, there'll be a lot of people say, oh, this is a one-year flash in the pan for Indiana. I don't believe that. They're already, you know, getting some guys in the portal that they would have never gotten before. And I think we'll continue. They're getting guys from high school that they wouldn't have gotten before. Like, there's a different vibe here. And your point of Dolson has the clout, right? Hiring Cignetti. When he goes to Pam Whitten and the board of trustees and says, hey, we got to move on. Like, I get it. He's a legend and all this and that. We got to move on. And this is the person that I want to bring in. Right. I think it was Jake Query tweeted that the other night from Indy Radio about, you know, the football fans are now like the Indiana fans are seeing what's going on with football and saying, hey, we need that for basketball. That's not a good thing for Mike Woodson. Attention to detail, leadership. We do not have that right now.
The ability to sweat the small things. The ability to sweat the small things. Yes.
Yeah. I don't think that we don't have that right now. I'm not convinced Woodson puts the work in. And again, I'm not there. I can't prove that. But I think you can see it in open space. Like, you know the coaches that put the time in and that don't. And I don't know that Woodson is putting that extra amount in that he's going to need to do. And it shows. And, you know, Burke, last time you were on, and it wasn't that long ago, right? Just a couple of weeks ago, we're talking about futures. Yep. So we didn't get Ben's wish list on that episode, but you're here now, Ben. If you had two choices, and I know the first one you're going to say, you got two choices for the next coach in India. I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. December 16th, when this hits your inboxes, of Indiana will have a different basketball coach next year. We're sitting here 1 year from now. There will be a different coach. Ben, you got two swings at this. Who are you swinging for?
Well, everyone knows I'm a huge Chris Beard fan. And I know that there's a lot of negativity, but these Mother Teresa's we've been hiring have not really been Archie Miller and Mike Woodson. I mean, I'm going to call them the dream team of college basketball coaching. I'd rather have Chris Beard. I mean, either you get, and I don't know if Chris Beard's a bad guy. I mean, he had an incident. That is what it is. But let's just be honest. Do you want a guy that wins, or do you want a guy that's a role model?
Like what we have.
Like what we have now.
I mean.
But here's the other problem before you get to that.
No.
Is Scott Dolson wanted Mike Woodson. Do you know how I know this? Because no one else wanted Mike Woodson. So he's going to have to come to terms that it was a terrible hire in order to fire Mike Woodson, which is going to be our problem in getting rid of him. Until Mike Woodson.
But he's earned the clout, like we just talked about, though. He's earned to be able to say, like, hey, Pam, in the Board of Trustees, I messed up. Quinn Buckner, hey, I know it's your boy, but you see the results.
Yeah, but when you're people not, don't. You know. What person have you ever met that likes to admit they messed up?
Well, that's why you make the big bucks. You have to admit that you did it. So that's one. Chris Beard, you opened a whole can of worms there, Ben. Second one, I mean, we know what you're going to say.
Hey, people can talk about his past. I want W's. I mean, okay. It is what it is. And my second one, I wanted Nate Oates, but I think we missed that one. I think that was a very obvious one coming out of Buffalo. If you watched them play, which I did for years because I was always rooting on March Madness and stuff. Like, I think that was a pretty obvious pick that he would have been great for us. And I think he would have come here. We missed the boat on that. I think we might have missed the boat on my other guy, Eric Musselman. Loved him. But, you know, he's at USC now, probably in sunshine at 70 degrees. So he's probably out. So my only other one.
No, I said two. I said two. You're up to four here.
No, I'm not going with this. I'm not going with the second.
Okay.
I'm going with Chris Beard, and I'm going with Bruce Pearl.
Oh, we knew that. So like we talked about Burke, crime and slime.
Yeah.
That
dang, he got a slimy duo. He picked a slimy duo.
Well, he's an Eagles football fan. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, they throw snowballs at Santa Claus.
That's what you want in these head coaches, man, because the slime falls off of them because they're working their tails off.
Can I throw a name out?
Do we have a choice? I'm just kidding.
Pretty much, no. TJ Otzelberger. From Iowa State.
No, I don't want his meathead ass.
He's calling a meathead.
I don't want some guy. I don't want some guy that looks like he's straight out the army.
Hey,
I want
hey, if he's in the gym yelling, man, that means he's in the gym. You know that means.
I'm just saying that's a name that is a. He's winning right now at Iowa State, which I would consider Indiana a rung above. You know. Not currently, but holistically above India. I think that's somebody that you should have on your radar from a leadership and accountability and attention to detail perspective. I've watched a lot of his games. Again, I get it. But like Bruce Pearl, he's the same age as Mike Woods. Chris Beard, you want to hire Chris Beard? You want to open that ball of wax? Like, I'm fine with it. But I just want to say to everybody listening, like, I'm against domestic violence on this. So I don't know. That mugshot will be in Mackey Arena for his entire tenure. All of that. I'm just saying, and I get it. He was exonerated, all that stuff. But you are opening a big can of worms.
And he's from my hometown, Chris Beard. Hey. Here's Chris Beard guy here. I'm not. Hey, I'll answer all the phone calls,
okay.
All the emails. All right. Hey, all those Leo fans that said he was a big time pickup for this year. You guys can hit me up in the inbox as well.
All right, Burke. You
breaking it to me that Bruce Pearl and Mike Woodson are the same age hit me like a dagger to the heart. Because it's just that. Just it's a compare and contrast the two on the sideline, man. That destroyed me. You just telling me that.
I mean, like, it might be a year here or there.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
What, but 65, 66? Yeah.
There is like, something that he is bringing that we need on the sideline, someone bringing that, someone that is just hunting out any ounce of fight when they just are lacking it.
Yeah. And so kind of to bring things, you know, to a close here, and Burke, love this. Love you joining us, Ben. Glad you finally got back in the saddle here, man. I'm really appreciating you back on the line. Like Indiana, they're playing Chattanooga and Winthrop. And I'm going to be honest with you, Winthrop scares me.
I'm heading to that one. Me, yeah. That
was the
Sunday game.
Boots on the ground.
Yeah. Figured it would be an all right time to show the wife the campus just because students won't be there. It'll be kind of just a little more low key. So
I didn't have on my bingo card, Winthrop scares me for this season. And now we do. So
my last game I went to was Auburn last year, and I'm scarred for 10 years.
I was there too. And I'm telling you, dude, you saw the Ohio State game. Do not play Auburn in a hoops giving, man. They are going to race you out of Atlanta.
Don't go
down
there.
They are going to race you out of Atlanta.
So maybe some final thoughts on where Indiana heads forward. Let's just, you know, we don't play. So what can Indiana do? Let's maybe end this on a positive note, right? Because we see a lot of vitriol on social media, right? And it's like, I'll never sit here and root against IU ever in my life. It's not in my fiber. I can't do it. And I want IU to succeed. I just don't think they're good enough to actually get it done, right? And so where does Indiana Burke go from here? They've got time to practice. You know, they're going to have some time to go home, obviously, around the holidays for their family. But, like, is this season salvageable, or do you just see it and be like, ugh, it's that muck of that 19-12, 18-13, and there's not really much that's going to change that?
I'm going to always just have a small shred of a hope that they can salvage this, because I think talent is always salvageable. I think talent can fix a lot, but I'm just going to be waiting for the Mike Woodson's next prove it moment. And then he has just let me down in those prove it moments. I wish they could say there's some time that we could point to and like, this is the opportunity for him to turn it around and prove it. But I mean, that is now, I don't know. We have to make the tournament, and then he has to show anything there, because right now it's just, it's bleak, man. And like you said, it's, you get a lock in on Saturday to watch Indiana football. You have to clock in to watch Indiana basketball right now. We are so devoted to this fan base, like this program. We are going to be there rain, sleet, or snow. Like, we are going to watch this team. And it just sucks that it feels like we're doing time as opposed to sitting supporting
the clock, man.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. The next game, it just feels like stepping on a rusty nail. But hey, we like that around here. Misery loves company. So Ben, you're same way to you. Like, is there anything to kind of hang your hat on? Do you have any type of optimism? Anything you can kind of say, hey, there is some way we can salvage this?
I wish I had a white flag, because I'd be waving it. It's okay. Over, boys. It's over. I call.
Dude, we have to have a fun show sometime. This is bumming me out.
Well, hey, Bert, listen. I have three teams I'm a diehard of, and I just call a spade. I have one team that's worth a shit. It's the Eagles. Thank God. My other two teams blow. It is what it is. But I got to call a spade a spade. And Mike Woodson's an old dog, and you can't teach him new tricks. He likes to play in the post. We're in a new era of basketball where they shoot threes and they play fast pace. He wants to slow it up, bring the ball up the court, and dunk the ball down low, which is boring and ineffective. And at some time, you just got to call a spade and just say, hey, it's time to put your chips forward and do something else. And that's my...
And to your point, Ben, and that's, you know, hey, you get the straight dope from him. He's just going to tell it like it is. Like, that's just the way Ben is. But I think you're probably right, Ben. I do think you're probably right. And again, we're probably going to relitigate this for the next 3 months, right? There's going to be those games. Burke, there will be moments, there will be games where we have positive, right? There's going to be there's going to be wins that you're like, that's the team we signed up for. And then there's going to be games, unfortunately, the like the one from Friday night. And, you know, I'm here for it. We're going to keep doing this. And appreciate you coming on and venting. It's a, you know, it's a Sunday when we're recording this. It's the end of the week. Got the Monday scaries, the Sunday scaries, whatever they call it, you know, creeping up on us. But this is, you know, it is therapy to talk through this because
yes,
there is, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, if you will. Like, I do feel like everybody's on the same page in Indiana basketball for the most part. Like, I don't really have many people. I don't see anyone saying, oh yeah, Mike Woodson, he's got this. I guess we're done. He's done. He's done. Barring something absolutely unforeseen. So I was even thinking this today, and I will leave it with this. Even if Indiana were to, you know, maybe turn it around a little bit, you know, win a couple games they shouldn't, and they're a 9-10 seed, they should still move on. This is like, they moved on from Crean, or they didn't renew his contract after a Big Ten championship. Don't make the same mistake again. And I mean, hey, I wanted Crean gone. Maybe we were wrong. I think he just was too like up and down, up and down. But like with Woodson, if he gets that dead cat bounce, which we talked about, don't like let that blind you, is all I will say. So with that, Burke, Ben, really appreciate you all connecting on this. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all that to everybody that's on the line, whatever you do. But Burke, Ben, any final thoughts as we get out of here?
This fan base has enough support, enough love behind it that we are going to find our way through this. We are going to get through this. We are going to have a winning program again. I truly do believe that. This curse has to be lifted somehow. Somebody is going to fix this hex, and it's going to be all roses, and we're going to have awesome podcasts where we pop champagne and just celebrate the good times, because we're due it.
I think we may end on that, Ben. I don't want you to go. I think that's the right way. No, I'm kidding. Ben, finish us.
Guys, listen, we all love the Hoosiers. Burke, I don't mean to, you know, throw, you know, but when you lose by 18 to Nebraska, you can't come in here being like, oh, yeah, man, we're right. We're about to turn the corner. I mean, you just lost by 18 to Nebraska in basketball.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean. Yeah.
I thought you had to add in basketball, by the way.
Just in case. I mean, I didn't, as an Indiana basketball fan, I didn't sign up to lose by 18 in Nebraska. That's unacceptable.
No, and again, that is the expectations, man. We can't be having emotional wins. We're Indiana.
Yeah.
Are we ribbon beaters here? Because that's where we're headed, is getting a ribbon and being in the NIT.
Well,
do you get a ribbon for that? Maybe.
Yeah, I think you do, and we'll be here for it. So, Burke, Ben, thanks as always. Have a good one. We'll see you against Chattanooga. Take care.
Thank you, guys. All right, topping off the headlines out of the Indiana camp since our last time of recording, Gabe Cupps is ruled out indefinitely after requiring surgery on a pre-existing nagging injury to his lower body. Unfortunate to see for Gabe Cupps. You know, you wanted to see him be able to contribute to the backcourt this year. He was part of that depth that we may be able to turn to. All that being said, we have options in this backcourt. Here's hoping that some guys can pick off the minutes that are now up for grabs, and here's hoping that our guy can come back stronger than ever. Here's hoping that he can bounce back from this injury. He's a tough kid. Have to imagine he will. Thoughts and prayers out for Gabe Cupps and his family. Have to imagine this is a minor setback. Here's hoping you got a big comeback coming your way. On to football. Football. A little bit of football news for you. Football's all Big Ten results show the Hoosiers some love. Yes, Big Ten love for the Hoosiers. Mikhail Kamara getting that defensive line nod. D'Angelo Pons, DB, you know, yeah, 70% of the earth is covered in land, or 70% of the earth is covered in water, lakes, rivers. The other 30% is covered by ponds. I like D'Angelo Ponds. Great to see that he got the honor, that he got the nod for first team All Big 10 selection. I didn't know if they were going to do him dirty just because of his physical like measurements. But there's just such a dog in there. You had to put him on first team. Well done, D'Angelo. As well, Aiden Fisher. Just a transfer superstar. He became a Hoosier the minute he stepped foot in Bloomington. Like, I just love the way this guy plays. He's one of ours. Congrats to him. Curtis Rourke on second team, absolute snud behind Dylan Gabriel. But neither here nor there. Elijah and Mike Kadich. Mike Kadich each took home third team honors. Awesome to see just so much Hoosier representation after this year. And I mean, we're just going to wax poetic about it, me and Donnie will, at the preview of this episode. But more on Indiana football. Winter commencement times are going to be moving to accommodate football. Commencements will now begin far earlier. That is 9 a.m. and noon on December 20th in order to get Hoosier fans in attendance to just get out and support them. We need to get out. We need to get into Notre Dame Stadium. We need to paint that town crimson. I love the move by them. It's study later and it's graduate sooner. Coach Cignetti, I love it. Following the dip from the Atlantis performance and just that Nebraska performance, Indiana's computer numbers are starting to get they were starting to get a bit better after the decisive win over Minnesota, but then we took another backslide. Right now, Indiana's sitting at 43 in the Torvik rankings. That is wedged between Iowa and Ohio State in the Big Ten, Iowa at 39. In KenPom, Indiana's currently sitting at 52. That is sandwiched between Iowa and Northwestern, with Iowa at number 45. And in the net, Indiana has plummeted after being number 56 during the last time of our recording. Indiana now currently sits at 65. That is between Northwestern and Rutgers. It's a slow start, and we really need to get going. We really need to find some gas because we need to do some damage in this conference in order to make a postseason run, in order to make a postseason appearance. And that has to be the bare minimum that we can expect from this roster, from this team. Please. After a slow start and looking for some juice, the Pacers had to turn to one man and one man only. That is Thomas Bryant. Yes, Thomas Bryant returning home to become an Indiana Pacer. That's a dude that I honestly think we could use this year. Like, not even just the talent. His infectious energy and sheer joy with the way that he would play, it could absolutely, possibly fix a lot of issues with this Indiana team right now. Absolutely, possibly. Not a lot of Indiana news for you. Just wanted to keep you updated on where we are with those Torvik rankings, the KenPom net, all that kind of stuff, because you know our ranking ain't changing after that Nebraska loss. You know our favor with the national media ain't going to change much, but on to the conference news. Starting out the conference news, a little stat that was shared by OptiStats since the last time of our recording I wanted to share involving Hurley's Maui trip. I just found it interesting. UConn is the first AP top 5 team to lose to an unranked opponent on 3 consecutive days since Louisville did so at the Great Alaska Shootout to open the 1986-87 season. Louisville was also coming off an NCAA title that year. I went in a little deeper just to see what happened of that Louisville team. And that Louisville team under Denny Crum lost in the Metro Conference tournament and didn't make the tournament that season. Just a stat that popped across my timeline and I wanted to bring to the show and share. Announced last week by the Big Ten, the 2 weeks ago, the 2025 Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament will return to Gainbridge Fieldhouse on March 12 through 16th. This will mark the 14th time it's been in Indianapolis, and it's just great to have it back there. Big Ten basketball belongs in Indianapolis. With the history, with the population of Indiana high school basketball fervor. Like every, it's in 49 states. It's just basketball. It should be in Indiana. It should be in Indiana. Absolutely. Great to see that that's going to be the case. That is a 15-team tournament. So to be one of those Big Ten teams left out of that conference tournament, that is going to be an indictment on the program. That is going to tank your recruiting efforts. Like that is, that's an issue. And that is an issue that Indiana needs to avoid at all costs. So we need to start winning some conference games consistently year over year. Please, please. Thank you. Last Monday, Jake Diebler announced on his radio show that Aaron Bradshaw would be rejoining the Buckeyes team. It was reported that he had been away with the team for the last 2 weeks due to an investigation into a possible domestic incident that happened at his apartment off campus. He averaged 7.8 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.5 blocks and four starts before taking the sidelining. And then more recently, now after having missed 17 days of practice, he still has yet to play for the Buckeyes. I wanted to bring this up because if you follow across like Big Ten Huddle, a college huddle channel, just covering the Big Ten, I go on there a few times, and I was high on him coming out of the transfer portal. I thought that, you know, that McDonald's All-American with a new location can really take a step forward based on what I knew of Kalel Ware, pretty much only based on that. And I was really pumping the tires on him and throwing his name out there a lot, but yeah, doesn't look so great come December. Unfortunately, yeah, just nothing regarding domestics. You love to see that. I mean, you do not love to see that, for sure. Nothing regarding domestics. AJ DeBonta has committed to BYU. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I'm not the one breaking that to you. Top recruit goes to BYU. BYU's got all the money now. It's going to be an issue moving forward. They are going to be a player, even if they're just skimming these top guys. Like, issue moving forward. Now for the Big Ten accolades since the last time of our recording. Player of the week has been Vlad Golden. That was last week. Vlad Golden, Michigan. Averaged 22 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, and shot 62.5%. from the field, helping Michigan to start Big Ten play with a pair of wins against number 11 Wisconsin and Iowa. He scored a career best 24 points, adding 5 rebounds, 3 blocks, and a steal in the Wolverines' 67-64 win at Wisconsin. The freshman of the week last week was Derek Queen. He is a stud. We missed out on that one. You know, with the guy, with the veterans that we had coming in, there wasn't much room for him. I mean, you make room for what we see now, what we realize we missed out on. You make room for that. He's every bit of the bill of goods that was being sold, and he averaged 21.5 points and 11.5 rebounds as Maryland opened Big Ten play with one and one with a win against Ohio State, 83-59, and a road loss at number 8 Purdue, 83-78. This is his second Freshman of the Week award. The player of the week for last week was Bryce Williams. Yeah, you hate to see that when an imposing player is named the player of the week, because he set his season highs in points, field goals, and rebounds, all in their 85-68 win over the Hoosiers. He becomes only the second Husker in the Big Ten era to have a game with at least 30 points and 5 assists. That's what he was able to do against the defense that Indiana was putting out there Friday night. After just, I feel like we haven't been playing much. I feel like we couldn't be too tired to play some defense. Man, it's frustrating to see the opposition here as the player of the week. The co-freshman of the week. Yes, two freshmen of the week for last week. That is Kasperis Jakusionis being able to compete with Tennessee as they did. He's lighting it up. He's absolutely also every bit of the hype that Illinois was building him up as. Dylan Harper, the other absolute NBA top 3 pick, lighting it up. Averaged 24.7 rebounds and 3.5 assists in the Scarlet Knights' pair of wins over the last week. Dick Vitale, cancer-free for the fourth time now. He just keeps fighting. Great to see that he has gotten this battle over with. And yeah, you just hope the next battle's further down the line, because he's been fighting hard. Great to see him be able to make a recovery here. Dickie V, all thoughts to that guy. He is the voice you hear with college basketball, even though some people may call him annoying for it. Like, he's synonymous. He's part of the culture. Dickie V, thoughts go out to you and yours. Results after trailing. This is just the results I wanted to bring up around the conference. After trailing 9-7, Penn State went on a 11-0 run and never gave the Boilermakers a chance to get back into it. After taking a 16-point lead into the half, Penn State beats Purdue 81-70 last Thursday night. Purdue followed that up by hosting Maryland, really tight battle until a late 8-0 scoring run put it to bed in favor for the Boilermakers, 83-78. And Derek Queen was the best player on that floor in that game. That dude plays with a chip on his shoulder, and I want it. I want dudes with chips on their shoulder. It's an anger. It's a frustration. You love to see it in a freshman is crazy. You love to see it in any player, but a freshman, crazy. Purdue then lost to Texas A&M in the Indy Classic in Gainbridge in a close one, 70-66. Michigan handed Wisconsin their first loss on the year, with Vlad Goldin scoring a career-high 24 as the Wolverines won 67-64 in Madison. Michigan State blows Nebraska out of the water prior to us losing to Nebraska, as Nebraska opened their Big Ten at home with a 52-89 loss, only to follow that up with their decisive victory over us Hoosiers. The Holiday Hoopsgiving. I wanted to bring up the Holiday Hoopsgiving because guess what you shouldn't do is play the Holiday Hoopsgiving against Auburn. And Jake and the Deeblers absolutely found that fact, because Auburn wins that one 91-53 in Atlanta. Imagine making that trip. Oh, wait, I definitely can because I just did it last year. Terrible. Terrible experience to just go to a neutral site, have that much excitement. You know, you're all making a trip, and then that happens. Ugh, gutting. Rutgers wins over Seton Hall in those pair of wins for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, 66-63. Harper was able to hit a big-time buzzer beater in that one. Seton Hall, not great as that is. They are now 5-6, but nonetheless, it was a very exciting watch. Another exciting watch was the Tennessee and Illinois game that we just saw last weekend. Jordan Gainey able to score on the driving layup at the buzzer, able to make it 66-64 in favor of Tennessee over Illinois. And I just watched that and I'm like, how, even in the scrimmage, whatever they were doing with rotations, Indiana competed against Tennessee. I saw it. I saw it with these eyes. Don't tell me Indiana can't compete with the likes of the Tennessees. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. And one other one I wanted to bring up. Two, I guess. Just ex-Hoosiers transfers out there. I wanted to bring up their results. Kansas, since the last time of our recording, Tamar Bates just did them dirty. 29 points leading the effort to lead Mizzou over Kansas in the border war. Huge performance from Tamar Bates. Cheers to him like crazy. Also crazy output from Caleb Banks, who was able to drop 33 points and 16 rebounds against Florida State for Tulane last Saturday. Tough to watch those guys ball out in big environments like that. Florida State's a big game for an opponent like Tulane, and Mizzou, there, nothing gets bigger than the border war. I mean, Great for those guys to see them perform like that, and just frustrating that we didn't get it. All right, speaking of frustrating, now it's on to the Flaunted and the Daunted. All right, starting off the Flaunted list for the week, Michigan. Michigan continues to impress and outperform everywhere that they were projected. Despite their projections, Dusty May just really has that two big lineup doing things. And you know what I've heard over the past 4 years? Two big lineups can't do nothing. And there has been more evidence to support that take than there hasn't. Somehow, Dusty May finds a way. And that is very frustrating. Flaunted Michigan. Flaunted Fred Hoiberg against Mike Woodson. You can't call it any other way. 4-0 in the year 2024, Fred Hoiberg over Mike Woodson. And then there's having your number, and then there's having your number, because Nebraska has only decimated Indiana in all four of those outcomes. And, like, yeah, they played a little tougher in this last one, but no, they are embarrassing us. The average Big Ten fan, the average Big Ten fan making his mind up on your program, just looks at that box score. It's embarrassing. Yeah, Fred Hoiberg, flaunted. Dylan Harper, flaunted. He's the real deal, and he's really fun to watch. Absolutely flaunted Dylan Harper. Last flaunted for you. You know I couldn't go a single flaunted in the daunted without them having to make some sort of appearance, and it's the Indiana Hoosiers. It's Kurt Cignetti. It's everybody who's going to be rolling into South Bend, hair on fire, ready to take the town over. You are flaunted this week. Take it to them. Starting off the daunted, playing right off of that, Notre Dame fans. Notre Dame fans are daunted. They don't know ball. They haven't been watching ball. They don't know how we are beating these teams. They don't know that they lost to Northern Illinois. We did our job against the directional Illinois, Western Illinois. Did the job. You got to beat the directionals in college football. Notre Dame fans daunted. Also daunted, Marcus Freeman playing off that. Lost to NIU as a head coach of Notre Dame. Lost to NIU as head coach of Notre Dame. You daunted, bro. 0-2 against Ryan Day. Daunted. You know, they're like, oh, you lost to Ohio State. Yeah, all you have ever done is lose to Ohio State. So why is that your bullet against me? Daunted. Indiana basketball after that Nebraska game. Got to put them here. Nebraska is their daddy. Daunted. Indiana basketball. Indiana Nebraska ball. That daunted matchup for sure. Lastly, as Cignetti usually is a facet of that flaunted list, daunted is Purdue football. You know, you hired Barry Odom. Good hire. Great hire. I would say, yeah, solid hire. He matches the personality. You didn't zag at all. But still, on an 11-game losing streak, they're daunted. Until I see a win, it's daunted. All right, that's all I got for the flaunted and the daunted. On to Burke's Big Five. All right, starting off your Big Five. This is the Big Five Big Ten state flag, so just states affiliated with Big Ten schools, where they're located, and the coolest state flags around. Yeah, just revolving around that. Starting off with the dishonorable mention, that is Iowa. Terrible look, Iowa. You look like you're trying to make the French flag American. Don't even start with that attempt. This is a dud. All right, at number five, I have a split. Yep, so it's actually Burke's Big Six today, I guess. Seven, if you encounter a dishonorable mention. The split at five is Maryland. Maryland, Lord Baltimore's coat of arms. It's a cool flag, but obnoxious when you make it the entirety of your branding and, like, the association of your university. It gets obnoxious at that point. On the other end of the spectrum of, like, obnoxious flag, like, I still think it's cool. I think that Maryland flag's cool. Minnesota, it's a plain flag, but the colors are very soothing. It's kind of the inverse emotion I'm getting out of the Maryland flag. All right, and then it's on to the Indiana flag I have at number four. I can't lie and put it at number one. You know, this is a very biased show. A very biased show for sure. And while I can't put it at number one, I think the IU football helmets with the flag design were some of the best Big Ten helmets out there. I truly do. But the blue and gold version of the flag just isn't hitting as hard as that white on red. Cream on crimson. At number three, I have Ohio. The cut, the design, solid flag. Number three, Ohio. I mean, I don't have much else to say on it. Number two, Oregon. It looks like a kindergartner drew it, but a double-sided flag with two vastly different images. And one is a, like, no-text solo image of a beaver. That flag's got a story to tell, and I want to hear it. Oregon, number two. Number one, Washington. It's the general's face. It's the face of the first U.S. president just staring you down. That flag rocks. Number one is the flag of Washington. And that was Burke's Big Five. So now let's get on to previewing the upcoming football game with a guy near and dear to my heart. This is a roommate that, I mean, we met freshman year of high school. This kid is largely the reason I fell in love with Indiana athletics. This guy, I thank my football knowledge to him. I thank any shred of care I had to IU football over the last 15 years. It's due to him. So I'm so happy to be able to sit down and preview and just wax poetic on what this Indiana football season has meant to us with my buddy, roommate Don. All right, as I saw, there's no real reason to preview what should be just a foregone conclusion in the matchups against Chattanooga and Winthrop. If there's anything other than that, it's going to be a big problem, the whole program on fire. So let's just hope I don't need to preview those. Awesome to have on the recurring guest, roommate Donnie. Donnie, how you doing?
Doing well. How are we doing Notre Dame week?
Doing good, doing good. I just wanted to have you on, man, because this Indiana football season has meant a lot to all Hoosiers. But there are some Hoosiers out there who, I mean, all Hoosiers are equal. But as far as Indiana football Hoosiers go, some Hoosiers are more equal than others. And it is fans like you, that kid who was storming the field after Hep made the promise and got his seventh win on his third or fourth season.
Hep had passed away by then, but that would have been his third season.
Yeah. That kid who was able to storm the field then to see what Sig has been able to do with Indiana football. Like it's incredible, man. I brought it up earlier on the show. You were like the shepherd into caring at all for Indiana football to just so many of the guys in our network. You told us, hey, fight through the hangover because we couldn't have the halftime beers. We couldn't have beers in the stadium. Fight through the hangover. Kevin Wilson needs you. That was you.
Yep. Those Kevin Wilson games were always a doozy. 4 hours long because every team scored 50 points each. I don't blame you guys for struggling through those because not a lot of wins either.
Dude, but that, I mean, that's – we are here now. The college football playoff, there is a 12-team playoff, and Kurt Cignetti has found a way to get Indiana, the most losing program in the history of college football, to the 12-team playoff. It's you can't even believe this.
It doesn't feel real. I mean, if you would have told me this, you know, back in September, even after the first three games, I don't see the path. Like, you know, it doesn't make any sense how it happened. But it feels real. This doesn't seem like a fluke in any way. You know, we just dominated every opponent put in front of us outside of, you know, Michigan and Ohio State. You know, yeah, he came in here and he took over a 3-9 team that, you know, didn't have many bright spots. The few bright spots he had were, you know, Donovan McCauley, and he caught two passes for us this year. He brought in his own guys and went one at the highest level. It is unbelievable what has happened over the last 4 months now, 3 months, I guess, with, you know, a unproven at the Big Ten level players and staff. You know, just seeing it happen so quickly was a really incredible 12 weeks to experience.
It's breakneck, man. That's why it's got to feel so, it doesn't even feel real to me because it's just, it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
There's no building. He came in built. It's crazy.
You know, I think back on the Wilson and Allen eras, and you saw the progression from, you know, with Wilson 1-11 to 4-8 to a bowl team. And that's kind of the mindset I was in going into this season when he took over a 3-9 team and seemed to, you know, kind of improve the roster a bit. I was hoping for, you know, 5-7.
Yeah, that's the realistic expectation for anybody.
You don't go from 3-9 to 11-1. That's not a thing.
No.
Oh, I actually have my Sig shirt on too, so that's pretty cool. can you tell I'm fired up for the game? But yeah, the jump made, that doesn't happen. That's not a realistic thing. That never happens. You know, you can expect a 2 or 3 or 4 win improvement. Anything more than that is an anomaly. So, this is a lightning in a bottle type of season. And I don't think it's going to be coming to an end if we can execute the way we have been all year.
Talking about Notre Dame, okay, you grew up with Notre Dame fans. We all did. Anybody from Northern Indiana who went to Catholic school for as many years as we both did, they're going to come across the ND faithful. And I knew you back in the day. You were fighting the fight even back then, even when us kids who didn't have college affiliations, who didn't have parents who raised us in the culture, you were fighting the good fight back then. And man, that fight is loud right now between the two fan bases.
Yeah. If I was more active on Twitter than as I was back in the day, I would be all over it. The chirping back and forth is a sight to see. I'm not as clever as I once was. I can't come up with the funny rebuttals to some of the Notre Dame stuff, but they really think that they're funny and better than us. So I guess we're just gonna have to.
Where do you see that? Where do they think they get their? It's just privilege because of being Notre Dame.
They're Notre Dame. They have all the titles. Yeah. They have the NBC network. They have the golden helmets. They just think their shit don't stink. And
How have they forgotten the NIU game? It's almost like they've been able to collectively just delete that out of their entire discussion.
Because they're here now. Why you can forget it. I think the Notre Dame fans and IU basketball fans are very similar. When IU basketball gets to the tournament as a 8 or 9 seed, we see Indiana on our chest, and we're playing, let's say like a Wichita State, and we think, oh, there's Wichita State. We'll watch the floor with them. I feel like that's a similar situation that's going on with this football matchup.
Yeah. They're so like their personnel. The closest thing we've seen to them is probably that Ohio State team. You think? I mean, just because they're going to be talent. What do you think they got?
I think they're very much similar to Michigan in terms of a defensive line who will not wreck your game, but they'll keep you in check. Their defensive backs are pretty good. Whereas they don't have like a Jack Sawyer or a JTT like Ohio State does. If Curtis can, get a clean pocket and not have the snap count be compromised like he did it against Ohio State, and has, 3 to 5 seconds to throw the ball, even with their good defensive backs, our receivers are going to get find spots. They usually run a man defense. So, we have enough receivers where, someone will get open.
Hopefully the tape of just the Michigan game and that Ohio State game has our receivers ready to catch the ball. Like it's going to be coming out so quick.
They've definitely not finished the year as strong as they were doing in the first half of the season. So, definitely need Surratt and Cooper Williams to have big games. It's probably going to be one of the pivotal matchups in the game is our receivers getting separation from their highly touted defensive backs. But I all bets are off though if it gets too loud there and we can't figure out how to snap the ball snap the ball so much where the defense knows when the snap's coming and can just tee off on us, which I guess Sig said something about that with Ohio State. They've got some, we're going to work out the kinks, and I think they'll be ready to go with the crowd noise.
Speaking to with the crowd noise and all that, I know you've been keeping a keen eye on the market value of these tickets. Do you think there's going to be a crimson wave there? Do you think there'll be a presence?
Yeah. From what I've seen, as we all know, the market opened up about $1,500 or so, $1,200, $1,500 to start off. It's slowly come down. Everyone who I've talked to who has a rooting interest in OU football. That's probably, you know, 50 people I talk to regularly. I'd say about 35 of them are coming, 15 are staying home.
Yeah.
And these aren't the biggest diehards either. This is just, you know, people who, you know, want to talk OU football when they're doing well. So, you know, I'm thinking out of the 70, how many is old? 75, 80?
I think 80.
I'd say IU will have about 10 to 12. I know IU ticket office got 3,500 tickets. And then, yeah, I think, you know, another 7,000 or 8,000 buying off Notre Dame fans is probably a conservative bet. If I'm putting it on my crimson color glasses, I could see it closer to 15, 17,000 IU fans. They're making some noise.
Yeah, realistically, these Notre Dame fans are like, "What? Yeah, how are they going to be paying that?" It's like, man, we haven't had the opportunity to ever pay anything, so we'll pay.
That was one of the more tone deaf tweets I saw was, you know, it's these prices, so these poor Indiana school people aren't going to be able to afford it with their measly salaries. That was pretty out of touch by that guy. The other one I saw was Notre Dame fans are going to be leaving to go to the tailgates at eight in the morning. IU fans can't comprehend, like, what do you think we've been doing for the last 20 years?
We start at the bar at 4 a.m.
Yeah, we've been getting alcohol poisoning and stomach pumped for 20 years.
Dude, we've booted and rallied by kickoff. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so these golden boomers are a little bit out of touch, and they don't know really what's coming their way, I don't think.
No, I love it. Hey, we could talk the X's and O's, but I'm going to leave that for the College Huddle football partner, the Hoosier Huddle. Go check out their preview. I'm sure they're doing a ton this week. But yeah, Donnie, when all is said and done this season, I mean, what does Sig do after this? Can he even follow this up?
You know, I'm not going to.
He's giving us the world, like, year one.
I'm not going to doubt Coach Sig. And I don't, we don't, obviously we don't have the time today to break down the 2025 schedule, but you know, I think we'll be ready to, we're going to reload next year and, you know, we'll be a force to be reckoned with. You can't predict college football playoff this early, but you know, I like any game we're going into with that guy at the head.
I know. It's a institutional control and structure that makes you wish we had a little bit of that on the basketball side.
We don't got to talk about that today.
Yeah. I already went into it earlier, but I can't thank you enough for coming on. I can't thank you enough for making me love IU football as much as I do. Thank you so much. And of course, you're always welcome on the show to discuss anything you'd like.
Thanks, Burke. Go Hoosiers. Beat the Irish.
Oh, yeah. What's the final prediction?
Indiana 28, Notre Dame 17.
All right, 28-17. I like it. I think, yeah, 11. I like that number. I'm going to go, let's go Indiana 30, Notre Dame 17.
Good night, late safety. Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
All right.
Thank you. See ya.
Bye-bye.
For your Hoosier history hit this week, I wanted to honestly just go to the release that Indiana Baseball had made on behalf of Bart Kaufman. I wanted to take a moment just to read this statement from them and just to shine a light on a man who deserves it. Bart Kaufman, absolute, like, what a philanthropist for our university. Bloomington, Indiana. Indiana alumni and former baseball player Barton Lowell Kaufman passed away on December 3rd at his home in Phoenix, Arizona. He was 83 years old. Kaufman, a native of Shelbyville, Indiana, was a two-time All-Big Ten selection as a baseball player for the Hoosiers. In 1961, he was the conference's second leading hitter. He earned a bachelor degree from the IU School of Business in 1962 and his Juris Doctorate from the IU School of Law in 1965. He is also a member of the Indiana High School Baseball Coaches Association Hall of Fame. a longtime supporter of baseball and Indiana athletics. Kauffman provided a major gift to the university for the construction of a new baseball stadium, hence Bart Kauffman's Field. In February of 2012, IU's athletic department announced the stadium would be named in his honor. Since 2013, the Indiana baseball team has played all of its home games at Bart Kauffman Field, one of the premier baseball college stadiums in the country. Longtime chairman and CEO of Kauffman Financial Corporation, Kauffman was active in countless philanthropies, including the Indiana University Foundation and the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. At Indiana University, he raised funds for the Helen G. Simon Hillel Center and the Bess Meshalem Simon Music Library and Recital Center, Simon Hall, and the Bren Simon Cancer Center. Done a whole lot for the university, that guy. Bart is survived by his wife, Judy. They raised four children, Grant, Wendy, Emily, and Hannah, and had 15 grandchildren and two great-grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, donations to the following organizations would be appreciated. That is the IU Cancer Center and the Hospice of the Valley in Phoenix, Arizona. Bart Kauffman, a giving soul who that stadium, that reinvigorated IU baseball. Can't thank him enough for giving us that. That's why you don't get the Schwarbers without the Kauffman. I can't appreciate it enough. When you get rich, you can do whatever you want with your money. Giving back to Indiana University, I'm always going to respect it. Thank you very much, Bart Kauffman. You will be missed by the Indiana faithful. And that's all I got for your Hoosier history hit. Wasn't the most positive, wasn't the most hopeful, wasn't the most optimistic episode, but I am hoping that these are fewer and further between as Indiana can somehow find a way to figure out this roster, to figure out how to perform for the full 40 minutes. That being said, that's all I got for you this week. I will have on the next episode, I'm hoping I get to just talk about how Indiana handled business against Winthrop and Chattanooga, as we absolutely should. I get to talk about how great it was just going to take my wife to the Winthrop game, as we're using that as, with the Sunday timing, we're using that as our time to get away from the kids for just even a day and really enjoy the campus with a little less traffic with the students and basically population being gone. I figured I could show her a good time in Bloomington. It's going to be fun. I hope I get to just talk nice about how awesome that was and how awesome Indiana looked in those two games. That'll be a much more fun episode to record. If you do want to find out about that, if you would like to follow in order to catch that episode, follow me across all socials at Often Daunted. That is at Often Daunted. Again, follow on the face or on YouTube, wherever you're listening to this. I cannot appreciate it enough. Doesn't cost you nothing, only boosts my ego, only helps me continue to find a way to record these. I am going to have one at the top of the new year for you, a Often Daunted holiday special to ring in the new year. Hopefully that all of our Nebraska losses, that's so 2024. Losing to Nebraska, losing to teams like Nebraska, that's 2024. Indiana's on to 2025. Here's hoping we can ring in the new year with a new look, a new attitude, a new something, because we need it. But regardless, I will be back here on the Often Daunted channel. Thank you so much, guys. God bless you and your Hoosier fans. You take it easy. Peace. Oh, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, y'all. Happy holidays.